Okay, welcome one and all. Here we are, Masechet Ta'anit. I've long lost track of how many years we've been learning together. I mean, not all of us have been learning together for all the time, but this shiur, which takes place at Beit Knesset Mishkan Sipora, going back to its original Gilgul as a caravan, not far from where our building is now. We've been learning together on Tuesday nights for a long time. Going on, I don't know, David, what is it, almost 20 years, no? Oh, yeah? What? I moved to the neighborhood in 2001. Yeah, so I started teaching the next year. Anyway, a long time. But I don't think we've ever learned Masechet Ta'anit together, so it'll be an opportunity to do that. And it's a relatively short Masechet, so maybe over the course of the year we can even finish it. And hopefully by the time we get to Daf Lamed Aleph, we'll no longer be learning online, but we'll be back together in the shul and post-corona, and we'll make a combination Sudat Hoda'ah and Siyum on the Masechta. Although there is something ironic about making a big Sudas Mitzvah on Masechet Ta'anit, but we could probably pull it off. The Masechet Ta'anit, although it does deal with the historical Ta'aniot, and here we are, of course, Bein Hamtzarim, between Ta'anit, Shivos Batamuz, and Som Tisha B'Av, of course, two significant fast days on our calendar. But in fact, the major thrust of the Masechta deals not with the fasts as we know them. Of course, the fast Hatzom Yom HaKippurim has its own Masechta, Masechet Yoma, and then the cycle of the minor fasts, Tisha B'Av, Shavuos Batamuz, Asar B'Tevet, etc. But with fasts that would have been decreed for a variety of troubles and calamities that would befall the Jewish people from time to time. These may have been human-induced, such as warfare. They may have been naturally induced, such as plague. As a matter of fact, the Rabbanut did declare a half-day fast very early on in the corona. I'm trying to remember when that was. Do you remember? From time to time, the Rabbanut HaRashit here in Eretz Yisrael does declare a voluntary fast, where they recommend people fast a half a day if you're healthy and able. And there was such a thing, and that, of course, fits into the age-old minhag, or halacha, of fasting be'et tzara. But the major element of fasting, as depicted by Chazal and in our Masechta, has to do with the weather. You know that old line, the weather, everyone talks about it, but nobody can do anything? Well, Chazal did not agree with that joke. Chazal thought there was a lot you could do about the weather. You could fast. Because, not just Chazal, the Torah itself, we're coming up on Parshat Ekev. I know this because we have a bar mitzvah, Parshat Ekev. And unfortunately, it looks like we're not going to be in the shul for the bar mitzvah. I hope we'll be able to have a minyan in the backyard. But Parshat Ekev is something you can hear a lot about if you come to our house these days. So in Parshat Ekev, we have the second parasha of Kriyat Shema. Right? In the second parasha of Kriyat Shema, here it is. I'm looking for a sitter, but it's easier just to grab my phone. Vaya im Shemoa Tishmu את אל מצוותי אשר אנוכי מצווה אתכם היום להווה את השם אלוקיכם בכל לבבך ובכל דם שלך ובכל מידך. If you do the mitzvot, if you love God, ונתתי מטר ארצכם בעיתו יורה ומלקוש. You do the mitzvot, the reward is, you get the rain when it's supposed to rain. ואספת דגנך ותירושך ויצרך. And you know why rain is important? Because unlike today, where we go into our bank account, and you know they have, in Bank HaPoalim, they have this little meter that shows you, like, you know, if you're above or below overdraft, right? You get a very clear graphic representation of what the matzav, the situation in your bank account is. So for Chazal, that was what is still printed on the back page of the newspaper, the Miflas HaKineret, right? Where you know, the truth is, we had a pretty good, you know, of all the bad things this year, rain was not one of them. We had a very good rainy winter, and the Miflas HaKineret was so high they had to open up the dam and release water from the Kineret, which is pretty unusual. For Chazal, who lived in a time when, you know, buying shipments of water from Turkey was not an option, the rainfall was the barometer not just of your bank account, although it was that as well, because that's what the pasuk means. You'll get rain, and when you get rain, the crops will grow. And when the crops grow, since you're all farmers, since you live in an agrarian world, you'll get digonecha v'tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. You'll get all the produce that you need, and you won't starve to death, and you'll have food. Right? This is the equivalent to saying your bank account will be in the black and not in the red. So rain, although you can't eat the rain, the falling of the rain in sufficient quantities is a mark of God's satisfaction with you, and it results in reward. Right? Vayayim Shamoa talks about reward and punishment, about schar mitzvot. So what is the reward for doing mitzvot? That you won't starve to death. That Hashem will send the rain, and the rain will bring the crops, and you'll have the crops, and you'll eat. Right? It was a very clear barometer, is barometer the right word? There was a time Barry Lynn used to come to this year. He could have corrected us. Maybe someone should tell him it's a good time for him to come back. What's the thing that measures the rainfall? What's the name of that instrument? Hello? Nobody knows. Anyway, but you know what I mean. A barometer is air pressure, no? Ah, okay. So that's what it is. In other words, rain is connected to God being satisfied with you. If he's satisfied with us for our actions, for our mitzvot, he sends the rain. He sends the rain. We get the food. But it's not just like the desire, the need that I have to keep my pantry well stocked. It's also connected to a larger national project. Of course, the parasha continues. The parasha continues. Right, be careful, don't do averot. What's the avera? What's the sin? Is of course avodah zarah. V'charaf Hashem bochem v'atzaret Hashemayim. V'lo yeh matar. If reward is you get rain, punishment is you don't get the rain. And when you don't get the rain, what happens? Hadama lo titen yivula. The land won't give its produce. V'avadtem mehera me'al ha'aretz tova asher Hashem noten lachem. And you'll have to forsake the land. You won't be able to live here. You won't be able to manage. Right? That's the very famous Meshech Chochma in Parshat Bechukotai that also echoes these themes in the Klalot, in the Tochacha, about not doing mitzvot and there won't be rain. Right? Because it's not like Eretz Mitzrayim. You know, in Eretz Mitzrayim, if they want water, what do? They never have to worry about it. There's no drought. That's why whenever there's a drought, the Avot are running down to Mitzrayim. Because Mitzrayim is the place of no drought. Because they have a Nile. Like there's endless amounts of water. You never have to think about it. You never have to worry about it. It's like our kids. You know, our kids grow up with this idea you really can't waste water. Chaval al kol tipa. Right, you can't let the sink, if you're doing the dishes, you can't leave the water running. If you're brushing your teeth, you can't leave the water running in between. Right, but you know, people that grow up in these other places where it's never a problem, right? In Massachusetts, you never worried about this. In London, they never worry about it. Right, there's never such a thing as, there's other problems, but there's never such a thing as drought. But here in Eretz Yisrael, we have this barometer. Right, that is an indication of exactly how happy Hashem is with us, and that is connected to rain. But it's not just the rain, it's the rain is a function of either keeping us alive or a lack of it, making our connection to Eretz Yisrael and our not our claim, but our ability to stake out our claim, makes it really rather perilous. This is the opening theme of Masechet Ta'anit, the Ta'aniyot that are connected to rain. And rain as a kind of indicator of Hashem's work in the world. Hashem's work in the world. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, in Perek Yudala in Yirmiyahu, Hayesh b'havlei ha-goyim magshimim. Are there rainmakers amongst the goyish idols? The worthless, the havlei, the empty, the non-Jewish idols. Are there magshimim? Is there anyone that can make the rain? V'im hashamayim yitnu revivim, halo atahu Hashem Elokeinu, unkavelach ki ata asita et kol ela. The skies themselves don't send down the rain. Hashem makes the rain. It's you, God, our Lord, our God. And therefore we hope to you, for you are the one who does it all. You are the rainmaker, Hashem. And by being the rainmaker, you're the only, in other words, it's a kind of like, a riff on the Atzabeim Kesef V'Zahav Maseh Yadei Adam. Right? Pelahem velo yidaberu. You can make an idol with a mouth, but you can't make him talk. You can make an idol out of sticks and stones, but it cannot cause it to rain. Only Hashem can cause it to rain. This is his great power. There's an idea that appears in the Yerushalmi, which may or may not resonate with every single mythology in the world. But in the Yerushalmi, the Gemara says that even idolaters who ascribe all types of powers to their false gods, none of them ascribe the ability to make rain. Right? Somehow that there's also this idea that develops that water, rain, water, the oceans, these are all connected, cannot be influenced by Avodah Zarah. That water can neutralize Avodah Zarah. It could be that there's an idea that enters into folklore, even European folklore, which we know most famously, of course, from The Wizard of Oz, that if you throw water on a witch or on a sorcerer, they melt, right? That they don't have power over the water or the rain. And that idea, comes back to this, that rain is really the distinctive power of Hashem. The fact that later Chazal make a mashal between water and Torah is therefore very interesting. Although I didn't see anyone who makes this connection. I can't say that I looked at every single source on the matter, but I didn't see anybody that makes this connection. The idea that Avodah Zarah is neutralized by water, that idolatry doesn't have any kind of power over water or rain, and the idea that that thing itself is compared to, is mashul to Torah, is of course interesting. So here we are, Daf Beis Omer Aleph, in Masechet Ta'anit. Let me make this a little bigger. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Let me just make this bigger. Okay. Me'emosai maskirin gvurot kshamim. When, at what point of the calendar, do we start mentioning gvurot kshamim? Now, in the Amidah, there are two different mentions of rain. One is, of course, V'tein talu matar levracha in the bracha Birkat HaShanim. This connects to what I said earlier. Of course, Birkat HaShanim, the blessing for the years, the best, it's really the blessing, it's called Birkat HaShanim, but really it's the bracha for this agricultural cycle, right? In other words, today, if we were rewriting the Amidah, God forbid, but if we were rewriting the Amidah, it would be the bracha of the fiscal year. That everything at the end of the fiscal year, everything should come out positive when you're filing your taxes. But since the fiscal year and the agricultural cycle were one and the same, as I mentioned earlier, so the bracha, Berech Aleinu, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mivarech Hashanim, that you should bless the years, meaning you should bless the fiscal year, right, as represented through the agricultural cycle. So there, when we say, when we ask, v'tein talu matal levracha, during the rainy season, that's a bakasha, right? We're asking God to make sure that the rain, the weather, the climate, the bank account, the osem, the storehouse of grain, that it should all be for the best. Why? Because the Masechet is called Ta'anit? I mean, you're putting the cart before the horse. In other words, your question should be, why didn't Chazal nickname the Masechet Gishamim? Right? In other words, the fact that, you know, the Masechet don't all have names, but those came much later. Right? And many of them are just nicknames, some of them are obvious. It's obvious that Sukkah should be called Sukkah. It's obvious that Shabbos should be called Shabbos. But Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra? Why? Even, Masechet Beitza, right? Some Rishon called it Masechet Yom Tov, which is a more technically accurate name. To call it Beitza, that's just because that's the opening... That's the opening word in the opening Mishnah. That's more of an exception to the rule. Brachot. Is Brachot the best nickname for that Masechta? No, but in other words... Well, right, okay, but in other words, what if you had to, if Masechet Brachot didn't have a name, and you were assigned to give it a name, what would you choose? Yeah, well, Tefillah is Shema. I mean, the first three prokim are about Shema. The next two prokim are about the Amidah, right? And then you have stuff about Birkat HaMazon and miscellaneous Brachot, Birkat Nenin, and etc. So it's true that I understand why they call it brachot, but you might have also called it Masechet Avodah Shebalev. You might have called it, who knows, I don't know. You might have called it Masechet Kriyat Shema, right? The Masechet opens with Kriyat Shema. There are more prakim dedicated to Kriyat Shema, than to any other particular topic, right? You might have called it Masechet Kabbalah Dol Malchut Shebalev. Who knows? So here, the opening with rain, I think, makes a lot of sense, because that will become a very central topic, certainly throughout the first parak, and even later, because we want to know, first you start with the norm. The norm is it should rain. In order for it to rain, we daven, right? So we need to know about the halachot of davening for rain. Ah, it doesn't always work out. Sometimes there isn't rain, kamo shetzarich. So then we have to have... We have to have like ta'aniot in order to try to get things right. So maybe that's why the organization is the way it is. So me'ematai maskirin gvurot gshamim. So when do we mention gvurot? So gvurot gshamim is not a request for rain. It's a declaration of God's might as the rainmaker. That's what we call Mashiv HaRuach HaMarid HaGoshem, that we say in the bracha of Mechaye Meitim. Mechaye Meitim, being one of the first three brachot, is not a request. It's not one of the bakashot. Right? It's one of the... It's a shevach. It's a praise. It's a description of God's might. So when do we start saying Mashiv HaRuach HaMarid HaGoshem? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Miyom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag. From the first day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, Miyom Tov Achron Shel Chag. On the last day of Sukkot. What's the halacha? No? The last day, right? So Omer lo Rabbi Yehoshua, Ho'il ve'en agshamim ela siman klala, B'chag, we don't want it to rain on Sukkot, right? Because you start saying it on Shmini Atzeret, but on Sukkot, rain is a klala because it keeps us out of the sukkah. So since rain is a klala, it's a curse during Sukkot, why, what's your havamina? What's your havamina, Rabbi Eliezer? Why would you start asking for rain on the first day of Sukkot? Lama hu maskir. Why would you start asking for rain on the first day? So Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, Af ani lo amarti lishol ela lehazkir Mashiv HaRuach HaMarid HaGoshem. He says, I didn't say you should start asking for rain. I just said you should start describing God as the rainmaker, as he who makes the rain. Of course, we... That's the... Right, so in other words, Ben's point, since Ben obviously prepared and he learned ahead, so the Mishnah says... Omer lo, imkein, leolam ye maskir. So if that's the case, you should say Mashiv HaRuach HaMarid HaGoshem all year long. Is it going to rain now in July? It's not going to rain in July. Is it false? And do I want it to rain in July? No. Because if we get rain in July, it's bad for the crops. But is it false if I say Mashiv HaRuach HaMarid HaGoshem today? No. God, in fact, is the rainmaker. But it doesn't rain all the time. Here in Eretz Yisrael, there's a rainy season and a dry season. He's the rainmaker when it rains, and he's the rainmaker when it's dry. Right? I'm not asking him, please send the rain today. So when Rabbi Eliezer says, Enochinami, I also don't want it to rain on Sukkot, but I describe God's might from the beginning of Sukkot. So Rabbi Yehoshua responds, Beseder, you could say it all year long. Ein sho'alim et hagshamim, ela samuch l'gshamim. So he responds, Enochinami, you can start saying it, or you should start saying it, when it's getting up to the rainy season, even though it is not yet there, even though I don't want it raining during Chol HaMoed Sukkot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha'over lifnei ha'teva b'yom tov achron shel chag, When halacha lemaisa, we start saying Mashiv HaRuach HaMarid HaGoshem on Shmini Atzeret. So when on Shmini Atzeret? So Rabbi Yehuda says the Achron Mazkir, Harishon Eno Mazkir, the second Shiliach Tzibur, meaning we start saying it in Musaf, but not in Shacharit. V'yom tov rishon shel Pesach, harishon maskir va'achron eno maskir. And when we stop saying it, the last Mashiv Ruach Min HaGoshem is on Shacharis of the first day of Pesach. And then at Musaf already, we stop saying Mashiv Ruach Min HaGoshem. Here in Eretz Yisrael, our minag is to say Morid HaTal. In Chutz La'aretz, Ashkenazim generally don't say that. But in all cases, we stop saying Mashiv Ruach Min HaGoshem at Shacharis on the first day of Pesach. And then we start saying it again at Musaf on the last day of Sukkot, on Shmini Atzeret, rather. That's what I said. So the Gemara now says, Tana, Hecha Kai de Katani Me'emotai. This question of when do we start saying it, right, implies that there is such a thing. What's the source for the idea? Forget. When we start saying it, why do we say it? Or what's the source for the fact that we have to say? What's the chiyuv to say Mashiv Ruach Min HaGoshem? So the Gemara says, Tana Hatamkai. The Tana is established here. He's making like a pun, right? Kai means to stand. So the Gemara says, like in English, you have this idea of standing, right? To say that you have standing in a legal case means that you have a legitimate claim to not. You can't bring a. I can't sue if I haven't suffered damages. I can't sue you, right? If you did something to someone else, I have no standing in that case because I wasn't damaged, so I can't bring a lawsuit. So the Gemara is kind of like saying, what's the standing here? Meaning, what's the thing that creates the obligation? Right? In other words, or it's almost like I'm trying to capture in English something about the pun here in the Aramaic. It's almost like saying the Tana who says that you have to say Mashiv Ruach Min HaGoshem, on what basis is he standing? And the Gemara answers, on his own two feet. He's standing right there, right? What is the source? What is the source? The source is right there. It's a Mishnah in Brachot. And it's interesting, David, that you made this connection already to Brachot, which also begins with the word Me'ematai. Tikatani maskirin. There's a Mishnah in Brachot on Daf Lamed Gimel. Tikatani Maskirin gvurot gshamim betchiat hametim, v'sho'alin bebirkat hashanim, v'havdala b'chonen hada'at. The Mishnah is talking about all of the different seasonal adjustments to the regular Amidah. So the Mishnah there says, you maskirin gvurot gshamim betchiat hametim. You say, Mashiv Ruach Min HaGoshem, you mention God's might about bringing the rain in the bracha of tchiat hametim. So why tchiat hametim? But what's the kesher between Tchiyat HaMetim and rain? Right. Okay, well, we're coming right up on that. Right. Now, what is the theme of Tchiyat HaMetim? Of that bracha? Gvura, right? The nickname for that bracha is Gvura, right? Ata gibor leolam Hashem, mechaye metim ata rav leoshia. Tchiyat HaMetim is brought mostly as a, it's not a request, interestingly. We're not saying to God, oh, please revive the dead here. We're describing, this is one of his powers, even though it's a power which has not yet been actualized, because the dead have not been revived yet. We're waiting for the Messianic era. But we describe Tchiyat HaMetim as, if you want to talk about God's might, well, that's pretty mighty. Right? Mele, he can make a butterfly or a blade of grass, right? Or anything. But that he can also revive the dead, if it is his will at the end of days, Well, that's a pretty mighty thing. That's like the biggest tool in the toolbox of like God's mighty deeds. So since we're cataloging God's mighty deeds, we mention the bringing of rain in that bracha. And Shoalin, we request rain in Birkat Hashanim, V'tein Talu Mata Levracha, and Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat, when you have to add in Atachan Antanu, you do that in the Bracha of Chonein Hadat. V'katani Me'ematai Maskirin Gvurot Kshamim, right? So this Mishnah, based on this Mishnah, the Mishnah in Brachot establishes the idea that there is such a thing as mentioning Gvurot Geshamim. There is such a thing as mentioning Mashiv Ruach HaMid Goshen. So our Mishnah, taking for granted the fact that our Mishnah also knew the Mishnah in Brachot, says, okay, given that you have to say V'tein Talo Mata Levracha, given that you have to say Mashiv Ruach HaMid Goshen, when do you have to say Mashiv Ruach HaMid Goshem? It's curious that in Brachot, that question isn't asked. These things are all kind of divided. Brachot is the source that there is such a thing. And Ta'anit is the source for when it is said. Vilitni Hatam. So, why didn't the Mishnah in Brachot tell us about Shmini Atzeret? Right, Maishna Deshvake Adhacha. Why did it leave it hanging until now? Right, and as you have two Mishnayot, right? There are two halachot about Mashiv Ruach HaMid Goshem. One is that there is such a thing, that it exists. The other is when you're supposed to say it. Wouldn't it have made sense to put them in the same Mishnah? Elatana Mirash Hashanah. Rather, it's connected to Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Right? We learned, you remember Rosh Hashanah? Until last week we were learning Rosh Hashanah. Titznan uvachag nidonin ala mayim. On Sukkot, we are judged for water. Va'aide detana uvachag nidonim ala mayim, tana me'ematai maskirin gvurot geshamim. In other words, it's a kind of funny question. The question is why doesn't the Mishnah in Brachot tell us when you have to say Mashiv Ruach HaMid Goshem, right? So the Gemara says, well, it's more than that, because it's not just why isn't in Brachot, it's also in Rosh Hashanah. You have to kind of triangulate this halacha out. In Brachot, we tell you there is such a thing as Mashiv Ruach HaMid Goshem. In Rosh Hashanah, it tells us that all matters of water, right? The judgments, the Arba Rosh Hashanahim, Sukkot is the day of judgment for water. So now, of course, you know, we know that that's why, you know, we have this whole Mishigas with Tal and throwing water on the Chazan. And the whole Arba Minim is somehow connected to water. And the Hoshanas are connected to water. The Gemara soon will come back to the topic of the Arba Minim of the Lulav. But that the rainy season, which is about to start after Sukkot, the judgment for whether it'll be a good rain or a bad rain, the judgment for whether the coming year will be prosperous or not, which is a direct function of the rainfall, that judgment is passed not on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, not on what we call Rosh Hashanah, but on Sukkot. So since there's such a thing as Sukkot, so then we need to know when on Sukkot, since rain, the judgment on rain comes on Sukkot, we need to know when to start saying. So the question could come back on itself and say, Beseder, so why isn't the answer to the question in Masechet Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, no, it's there's three elements here. There's brachot, there's Rosh Hashanah. Brachot is about what to say. Rosh Hashanah is about why to say it, because we're being judged. And Ta'anit is concerned principally, and maybe this is the reason the Gemara does this strange thing here, because our Gemara is going to spend a lot of time talking about the calendar. You remember Benjamin Franklin? Certainly you remember Benjamin Franklin. How come I can't see anyone? Where? Benjamin Franklin statue? No. They are. I haven't heard anything about Benjamin Franklin. I mean, Benjamin Franklin was like, he's rather non-objectionable in this regard. One of Benjamin Franklin's minor accomplishments was Poor Richard's Almanac. You know what an almanac was? An almanac was a kind of calendar that, you know, predicting weather was a very, very, I mean, today it's an extremely imprecise art. You know, you go on Weather It Is, I'm not sure what the batting average is. You know, there's some people that get very animated by the weather prediction. Right, they always wanted, like, what's it going to be? I don't know. I get up in the morning, I look outside. If it's wet, I put on a sweater. If it's not, I don't. If it's hot, I put on short sleeves. If it's not, I put on long sleeves. I have a very limited wardrobe, and it's not that hard to accommodate. But there's some people, they need to know what the weather is. My mother will, like, she, like, knows the 10-day forecast, because she's planned everything out, you know, for what's happening a week from Thursday. But in the old world, I mean, I'm talking in the 18th century, and Kal Vachomer in the 2nd century, you know, weather prediction was extremely imprecise. Besides the fact that here in Eretz Yisrael, you generally knew that between Sukkot and Pesach it might be raining, and between Pesach and Sukkot it probably wasn't raining. So an almanac was, you know, based upon, like, probability. You know, like if you observed the weather and took records year after year after year, if you were a farmer in western Pennsylvania, you knew that in your valley in April, on average, there was this amount of rain, and in May there was that amount of rain, and in February you could count on this much snow. And in August, you could count on this much heat. But it was only by looking over a number of years and averaging things out. But it couldn't possibly tell you, when you bought your almanac at the beginning of the year, the beginning of the calendar year, it couldn't predict with any probability what it was going to be like on any given day. Right? It could only tell you very vague probabilities for how much rain or snow or heat or cold you could expect at any given time. Our Gemara, not exactly an almanac, but our Gemara is very concerned with these things. Our Gemara is very concerned with the meteorological / agricultural calendar. To know that by this and that date, it's supposed to start raining. And if it hasn't started raining by this or that date, that's a worrisome sign. Because when you get to that date, if you're not paying attention, it doesn't matter. I mean, you won't feel it in your pantry, and you won't feel it in your pocketbook. Right? Because that's not how it works. The rain that falls now is going to affect the crop that's going to come up in the spring. And the crop that's going to come up in the spring is going to affect what your balance is come the fall. So the Gemara is trying to tell you, if by this date in Cheshvan it hasn't started raining yet, it's a sign of worry. But in that regard, it works as a kind of farmer's almanac. But not just farmer's almanac. It's also the the stock market report. They didn't have stock markets, of course, but it was a way of trying to predict your finances for the coming year. But it was also a kind of Musserschmooze. It was a way of saying, if it hasn't started raining by this date, or if this amount of rainfall hasn't come by that date, you have to check your Yirat Shemayim. You have to be concerned, because this is a sign of punishment. This is a sign that Hashem is not happy, because rain is reward. Mitzvot bring the reward. Averot bring the drought. And drought means our connection, our hold on Eretz Yisrael is undermined. And this is how all these... So this question of why the Mishnayot, why this topic? There are three elements to Mashiv Aruch HaMirid HaGoshim. But you think it's a rather simple halacha. Say Mashiv Aruch HaMirid HaGoshim. So there are three elements. It's not brisker. It's not Svei Dinim. Right? It's three Adinim. One is, there is such a thing. Where do we learn about that? We learn about that in Masechet Brachot that describes to us what the elements of the Amidah are. The other is to tell you that it has to do with being judged for rain for the whole year. When does that happen? Masechet Rosh Hashanah tells us why in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Because Masechet Rosh Hashanah catalogs all the different judgment days. That happens on Sukkot. When specifically should you start saying it? That is a central topic here in Masechet Ta'anit. And by putting it here in Masechet Ta'anit, it highlights, maybe that's what it's doing here. It highlights this aspect of Masechet Ta'anit as not the farmer's almanac, but the Oved Hashem's almanac. To know that, pay attention to these things, because it's an indication of larger trends in your relationship with Hashem. Okay, we'll pause here. This is by way of introduction to Masechet Ta'anit, and we will continue next Tuesday from where we left off. Welcome back, everyone. Hope soon we will be reunited in shul.